Welcome to episode 27 of the Anti-Reactive Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Hoppe, parent educator and counselor, mom of two, and lover of all things related to parenting. This episode is being released on Memorial Day, which in America is the unofficial start of summer. So today we are talking about summertime and how to start the school break off right for an anti-reactive summer of fun. But before we get into it, I wanted to share anti-reactive parenting's latest news with you all. Anti-Reactive has launched a subscription service. We have been working on some premium content to share with our listeners, including an exclusive podcast series by Life Fatherhood called Daddy Date, where you can listen in on healthy, values-based conversations between a dad and his daughter, a monthly newsletter, shout-outs and future episodes, and more. You can find the link to our premium content in the show notes, and we are excited to see you over on our subscription page. Okay, so as I mentioned, summer is here, or practically here for most of you, and as a kid, there is no better feeling in the world than that last day of school feeling, where everything is done and there is nothing ahead of you but no schoolwork and endless fun. For a kid, summer vacation is the best. As a kid who grew up in the 90s myself, on the last day of school, we all sang that obnoxious song, "No more teachers, no more books, no more teachers, dirty looks. When the teacher rings the bell, drop your books and run like..." Well, I imagine you can fill in the blank yourself. But there is nothing like that feeling of freedom, of just being completely unshackled, no more teachers, no more homework, and just getting a total break from all the schoolwork, the rules, the morning alarms, packing lunches, and instead there it was time for nonstop playing, popsicles, riding bikes, trips to the beach, playing with the neighbors, ice cream cones, and amusement parks. I mean, it's just the best. So now that we're the parents, we probably have a slightly different view of the summer. And parents orchestrate a lot of the fun, plan the family vacations, coordinate the play dates, juggle work schedules, arrange family visits, and manage all of that extra laundry. We all want our kids to have a great summer. And in this day and age, there's more pressure to plan things for our kids, set things up, get the social media worthy photos, and get them into all of the best summer camps and make it more magical than ever before. I have no idea if dads ever see this kind of stuff on their social media feeds, but I have seen something that has made the rounds several times within the past month, definitely within the mom circles, and it says something along the lines of, "You only get 18 summers with your child before it's over and they leave. Make them count," or something like that. Now, while I appreciate that perspective from time to time about, you know, valuing and enjoying the time with our kids, I really do hate these kinds of sentiments because I think it's just a way to make parents, mainly moms, feel guilty and just place unrealistic expectations on everyone. And it's just another way to make a parent feel like they're failing. Not every summer is going to be magical. I hope many of them are, but not every single one is going to be one to remember, and that's okay. But your summers can be anti-reactive summers that are intentionally set up to be as pleasant and as stress-free as possible for everyone, so that the summer does end up being the time your child needs to get a long break, play, go through a growth spurt, and go about the busyness of childhood, so they can recharge and be ready to learn when it's time for school to start again in the fall. And if you've been through this a few times, you know that school will be starting again before you know it. So it's a good idea to put some things in place to make it a summer that is whatever it is your family needs it to be. So whatever your summer looks like, whether you stay home with your kids, take some time off from work, or end up working overtime in order to pay for the extra childcare for the summer months, it helps to start by establishing some simple expectations right at the beginning to ensure everyone is on the same page. You would be surprised how many different perceptions may float through a family about what should go on during the summertime, so it's important to discuss expectations and make them clear to your children alongside whoever you are parenting with. So what are these expectations I'm talking about? I mean things like, for example, bedtime. Does it remain the same as it is in the school year? Do kids get to stay up later? How much later? How do they know when it's time for bed? Do they understand that in the summer, the sun can still be seen in the sky, even when it's very late, but they still need to be in bed even if the sun's up? Or do they get to pick their own bedtime? I mean, it may seem so silly, but bedtime can be a daily source of conflict in the summer. But if you establish the parameters and make them clear at the beginning of the summer, then you can head off a lot of those arguments at the pass. I highly recommend it. Other expectations you might want to think about: screen time or TV time. How much time are you comfortable with your child sitting in front of a screen each day? These Gen Z kids only know life with screens, especially ones with endless hours. I mean, truly endless hours of entertainment at their fingertips. When I was a kid, trust me, I'd watch my fair share of TV in the summer. But inevitably, the programming would take a turn and nothing good would be on, prompting me to turn it off and find something else to do. But with streaming, entire series to binge, YouTube, video games, blah, 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 kids will never run out of things to watch unless you set up parameters. If you're a family that doesn't allow unlimited screen time, it's important to lay some ground rules before the summer slips away in front of the TV, the phone, or the computer. Whether it's a certain amount of time allotted each day, where you have screen time limits set up on the devices, or a list of chores that need to be completed first before screen time, or a system for earning screen time, whatever it is, set it up and make the rules clear right at the very beginning to avoid the bargaining and negotiating hamster wheel all summer long. Figure out what makes the most sense for your family and set it in place at the beginning. Make your rules, don't deviate from them, but get those expectations lined up in place so you're not going back and forth all summer. Now, summer inevitably means a more relaxed schedule and more free time, and this is all so very important for kids. But some semblance of structure is also important to maintain, so it doesn't turn into a total free-for-all without any rules or boundaries in place. Kids do better when there is some sort of rhythm to their day, some type of structure, so they know what to expect, which helps them feel secure. Don't be afraid to establish some type of routine or structure over the summer. I know it doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, but I have found that everyone does better with some sort of rhythm. And if you don't have one set up at the beginning of the summer, somewhere around halfway through, you'll realize you do need the structure. And then by then, so much of the time has already gone by and you'll feel that much of that summertime has gotten away from you. So trust me on this, you'll never regret having some type of plan in place, even if it's very basic and minimal. And while I'm a firm believer in giving kids a much needed break from school, I've also found that many families benefit from having some sort of learning goal over the summer. I know, learning goals, blah, lame. Okay, but hear me out. I'm not talking worksheets and bookwork, but something fun and motivating to keep their brains engaged and prevent some of that summer slide where kids forget a bunch of what they learned in school. Summer reading programs through the library or through an online organization are fantastic. I mean, there's so many out there. It's easy to find something that works for you and your family. And they're free, and they often come with prizes and rewards to keep it fun, so literally anyone can participate. With extra time on their hands, summer is also a great time for a kid to learn a new skill that they're interested in. Things like cooking, baking, sewing, cake decorating, art tutorials, learning to ride a bike or rollerblade, or try a new sport. Pressure is off during the summer, so it's a great time to learn and make mistakes and try new things. Finally, If you're taking a family vacation this summer, communication, planning, and clear expectations go a long way in making it a memorable trip and ensuring you form positive memories, not negative ones. Anti-Reactive Parenting's companion podcast, Life Fatherhood, discussed this very topic in episode 17, and the episode's called Family Vacation, which I encourage you to check out. I'll link it in the show notes. But essentially, it is our hope at Anti-Reactive Parenting that any vacation you take is one where everyone is having fun, everyone's cool, and you avoid being that hot mess family where dad's yelling, mom's annoyed, and kids are crying, and everyone's wondering why they spent all that money to spend a week upset with each other in another location. So just a couple words of advice. Clear expectations, low pressure, and a solid plan will help you make the most of that time. Okay, that's all I have for you today. This episode is short and to the point, but I want nothing more than for all of you listening to have a fantastic summer, one that is memorable for all of the right reasons, and one where you can look back and say you and your kids made the most of it. Whether you're home or at work or doing all you can just to make ends meet for your family, there is no shame in making the best decisions to suit you and your family, even if those decisions look different from everyone else. As long as those decisions are made with purpose and intentionality to keep you on the anti-reactive side of parenting. All right. That's it for today's episode, and I want to thank you for tuning in. And if you continue to enjoy these episodes, I invite you to help this podcast grow by leaving a quick 5-star rating. It's just a quick little tap. And if you have a little extra time, a positive review. These ratings and reviews are much appreciated and help others find this podcast and their mission to become better parents, just like you. So don't forget to follow our podcast. Add it to your library so you don't miss an episode. Until next time, parent intentionally, plan for what's to come, and be anti-reactive.